Welcome to the Coda Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about the latest React release. In particular, I'm going to be going over the blog post and reading some stuff verbatim from the actual blog post. This is React version 15.5. There's some interesting stuff and things to know about from this blog post. I think it's really important if you're doing any kind of React work or have just started and are looking to keep moving on with React in the future. Really important article. So the article is dated April the 7th, 2017. It's written by Andrew Clark. So yeah, I'm going to go top down and go over that because there are some interesting points here that you need to know about. So just from the intro for this, we've got, it's been exactly 1 year since the last breaking change to React. Our next major release, React 16, will include some exciting improvements, including a complete rewrite of React's internals. We take stability seriously and are committed to bringing those improvements to all of our users with minimal effort. To that end, today we're releasing React 15.5.0. Now, those changes, that complete rewrite of React internals, they're talking about React Fiber, which it's something they've been working on, I think, for like a couple of years now, based on a bunch of research and things like that that's been happening over that 2 year period. And that's going to see some major improvements for React. So that's really exciting. So getting on with the first heading here, new deprecation warnings. So the biggest change is that we've extracted React.PropTypes and React.Create class into their own packages. And now I'm not too sure how this affects with ES6 or ES2015, etc. If you're not using React.Create class, but something to know there. Both are still accessible via the main React object, but using either will log a one-time deprecation warning to the console when in development mode. This will enable future code size optimizations. So maybe they're trying to get rid of that and just using the ES6 side of things. I'm not too sure. I haven't really gone right into that one. These warnings will not affect the behavior of your application. However, we realize they may cause some frustration, particularly if you're using a testing framework that treats console.error as a failure. So adding new warnings is not something that they do lightly. And warnings in React, they're not just suggestions. You know, they're integral to their strategy, they're saying here, of keeping as many people as possible on the latest version of React. And I think that's a good thing. I think what they're doing there is really important, and it's something that you should really understand what they're trying to do. So getting on with it. So while the warnings may cause frustration in the short term, we believe prodding developers to migrate their code bases now prevents greater frustration in the future. So basically, they're proactively getting you ready for future releases and keeping up to date. And this, it works really well if you can do that. Ember, if you haven't checked out the Ember framework, they do this very well. And they essentially make upgrading, it's just a no-brainer, it's simple. I've heard a lot of people upgrading big Ember apps, like huge Ember apps, and having like no troubles at all because of things like this. So it's good to see that they're really pushing that. So migrating from React.PropTypes, this one, there's a nice little example here. I recommend having a read of that and showing it there. But so basically in 15.5, instead of accessing prop types from the main React object, yeah, install the prop types package and import them from there. So as you can see, they're moving all these things out instead of actually having them all under the global React space. And there's good reasons for that. The code mod for this change performs this conversion automatically, so which is awesome, which is one of these things that I didn't even know existed. And then someone on the team that I was working with, they showed me JS CodeShift, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. I really love what JS CodeShift does. So that's pretty cool. Code mods are awesome. And they're basically saying you may also consider using Flow to statically type check your JavaScript code, including React components. So interesting to know there. Now, migrating from React.create class, when React was initially released, there was no idiomatic way to create classes in JavaScript, so they provide their own with React.create class. So later on, we got ES6 or ES2015, and they had the ability to create React components using JavaScript classes, which is the way I recommend you do things going forward, and it seems to be what they're doing here, is moving on and using ES2015, ES6 to do that. One of the interesting notes here is for your existing create class components, we recommend that you migrate them to JavaScript classes. However, if you have components that rely on mixins, converting to classes may not immediately be feasible. If so, Create React class is available on NPM as a drop-in replacement. Now, this is something I think is really interesting, and it's good that they're doing to allow you to kind of slowly be able to get your way out of there, but just giving you some more time by having an extra module to do so. But I wouldn't rely on that. So if you can, just really put in the time to move away from Create class if you can. Now, here's the big one. This is the one that really perked my interest about this release, is discontinuing support for React add-ons. So I'm just going to read this verbatim here. There's a bunch of stuff there. We're discontinuing active maintenance of React add-on packages. In truth, most of these packages haven't been actively maintained in a long time. They'll continue to work indefinitely, but we recommend migrating away as soon as you can to prevent future breakages. So here's a list of them. React add-ons create fragment. So React 16 will have first-class support for fragments, at which point this package won't be necessary. We recommend using arrays of keyed elements instead. React add-ons CSS transition group. Use React transition group / CSS transition group instead. Version 1.1.1 provides a drop-in replacement, which is awesome. So if you're doing any kind of animations and stuff like that, that one is really important to you. And the next is React add-ons linked state mixin. Explicitly set the value and on-change handler instead. For React add-ons pure render mixin, use React.pure component, we've been seeing that kind of setup for a fair while now. So yeah, you should hopefully be using that already. If you're not, you should look into it. Something I need to look into more myself. Same thing with React add-ons shallow compare. Same thing. Use pure component. React add-ons transition group. Again, same thing. Again with the CSS transition group. Basically the exact same thing. So moving that as the same. React add-ons update, use immutability helper instead, a drop-in replacement. So it's great to see that these things are literally just take add-ons out and individually put these things in. And then finally, React linked input, explicitly set the value and on-change handler instead, very much the same as the link state mix-in. Pretty much the link things are exactly the same. They're also discontinuing support for React with add-ons. And UMD build, it will be removed in React 16. I've never actually used that, so I'm not too sure. You'll have to check that one out yourself. Next up, React test utils. Currently, the React test utils live inside React add-ons test utils. As of 15.5, we're deprecating that package and moving them to React DOM / test utils instead. So previously, where you'll be just importing test utils from React add-ons test utils, now you're going to be actually importing those from React DOM and specifically just specifying test utils. So important to know there for your testing. That's essentially it. So you can get into this now. Just use Yarn, add React 15.5, React DOM 15.5, or you can install that same with NPM, same thing, React at 15.5.0, etc. But that's essentially it. It's a kind of it's a big release, but it doesn't seem that big in terms of, you look at it, it's like, okay, there's some minor changes that you have to make, but this is actually a pretty important change that you need to do. And certainly I'm going to be pushing that in the upcoming week too, or maybe depending on when this comes out, it might already happen, to do it in our React application to make sure that we're there ready for this big change. And I can't wait till Fiber's ready. Fiber is pretty interesting. I should actually do an episode on that. I may do it in the future. Last I checked, it was like 92% test coverage and making sure that everything was working. So it's getting very close to release. So once that's ready, basically React 16 will be coming out. It'll be released. So really awesome to see. But I'd love to know your thoughts on this. Have you been following this? Do you have any other information on that you'd like people to know? Anything like that, I'd really love to know. Send through a tweet to @CodaCatchUp on Twitter. You can send through an email to codacatchup@gmail.com, or you can just leave a comment for this episode on codacatchup.com. But that's essentially it. If you do have a spare few moments, I'd love it if you could do a rating and review in iTunes. Also, if you haven't checked out the videos or the YouTube channel, go check that out, CodaCatchUp on YouTube. I'm publishing more and more there. You're going to start seeing those ramp up, if not already. But other than that, we'll catch you next episode.